So I know they mentioned at the beginning of the service that we're using headphones, but someone may have come in that didn't hear that. So could somebody stand up and say in Spanish, anyone needs a headphone, raise your hand to hear the sermon in Spanish. And it's so good to see all of you that I have to ask my good friend and almost becoming my right hand, Joshua, could you bring me the clicker? And we'll hope that it works. And I realize that as Elsa is translating, she may not know what I mean by clicker, so this will advance the remote control, yes, for the slides. Thank you. It is so good to see all of you, and Palm Sunday is a great day to be in worship. And I really hope you're able to make it next Sunday for Easter. It seems as though our church has seen a little bit of a growth spurt, some new faces, and I want to apologize up front that I am not good with names. It's embarrassing to have been a pastor for over 40 years, and I'm not that good with names. So if you can be patient with me, I promise I will do my best to learn your names. And I also want to mention that if you ever come to worship and our parking lot is full, we have an agreement with the banquet hall across the street, Regency Banquet Hall. We have an agreement with them that we can park over there on Sunday mornings. And I promise you won't get towed. Even if they need their lot for something, they always check with us before they get serious. To be honest, don't tell anybody this. Of course, it's being live streamed. But I've never really seen them tow anybody. So, and we've been here for 20 years, so 20 plus years. And I am hoping that next Sunday we will have even more people here to remember, to celebrate the resurrection of our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also have a Good Friday service at 7 this Friday. 1 year I announced the Sunday before Good Friday that this year Good Friday falls on a Friday. I thought it was funny, but not everybody else did. And so as our church is blessed and as we grow, I would encourage all of you either try to get here a little early or stay a little after the service to get to know one another. Greet somebody that you haven't met before. Today is a great day to be at Northwest because there's cake. There's Oreo something kind of cake thingy, which is really good because I already had some of that. And then there's a buttercream frosting cake out there that I'll try some of that after the service. So whenever you come in and there's anything on the counter, it's usually fair game. And we want you to enjoy it. So I received a thank you note this morning. Joshua Lewis is one of our teenagers, and he is going to a summer program this year called Truth and Peace. It's a leadership program for teenagers who have finished the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. If you get accepted into the program, you can go all 4 years. Not everybody gets accepted, even the first year. There is a screening process. But if your teenagers are interested, you can either talk to myself, Tommy, Manolito, Liz, Christine, Pam, a whole bunch of us. Anybody you see on the stage, pretty much, I think, can answer that. And so to help our teenagers do this, we're not a church that's all about money. We do receive a worship offering later in the service, but that's between you and God. And I do want you to know up front, I never look at who gives what. I never have, and I never will. It's just, I don't care. It's between you and God. But and so we don't do fundraisers out in the neighborhood either, because we want people to understand Christ is free. Christ is free. Anybody who wants Jesus, he's there. And so we don't do any of that. But inside the church, sometimes we do a fundraiser of sorts. And so a few months ago, a month or two ago, I forget when, Joshua spoke before or during worship, shared about his trip coming up to this program, Truth and Peace. And several of you have helped him financially. And so he wrote a thank you note that says, "Thank you for giving me your support as I prepare for Truth and Peace. Please continue to pray for me. And I'm very thankful for this church and its congregation." And I am too. So thank you, Northwest, for helping Jonathan. And thank you, for helping Joshua. Jonathan is Joshua's brother. I think I just mentioned that I'm not good with names. And of course, I've only known Joshua his whole life. I should have it down by now. But anyway, thank you, Joshua, for your thank you note. And one last thing, for those of you that are newer, whenever we're translating through the headphones, I have written out my sermon ahead of time as much as I can for our translators. I do that every Sunday, even if it's side-by-side translation. And by the way, next Sunday we'll be side-by-side, so we won't be using the headphones next Sunday. But sometimes when I'm going through my sermon and I think of something I need to say that's not in my notes, I will speak to the translator. So in the middle of my sermon, if you hear me say, "Okay, Elsa, this is not my notes," that's why I do that. I hope it doesn't sound unspiritual, but that's how it works. Okay. So I know that when you first begin to investigate Christianity, the Bible is huge. It's overwhelming to even know where to start. And in a sense, it is like beginning to study any other subject. If you decide to be a doctor, you don't go to one class and then start seeing patients. It takes years of diligent study. And if a doctor is a good doctor, she will read medical and study medical journals and research for the rest of her life. Learning about Jesus also takes a lifetime. But if you attend worship regularly and read the Bible regularly, you will find out who he is and how much you need him. So if you're attending worship here and feel like you're not understanding everything, that's okay. Give it time. And we are here to help. And so, Elsa, this is not my notes. Joshua, I need you to run into my office because I forgot to get something. This is not going well today, guys, so far. So underneath, you'll have to go in through the middle office door and back by where the mail slot is behind the safe. I'll explain that in a minute. Behind the safe, there's a big red and white ring. So could you bring that? So when we bought this building, it used to be Service Employees Union Local 1, a union hall. And they had a safe in the office. And when we bought it, wait right there, nobody turn around. Nobody turn around. Good idea, thank you. And so when we bought the building, they were going to clean it out and throw everything in here away. And there were, you know, the round tables we use for the when we have dinners? There were 15 of those. And they were going to throw them away. And I said, no, wait. Don't throw them away. Don't even clean the building. We're buying it as is. And one of the things they left was a safe that nobody knew the combination to. And for those of you that don't know, if I'm not careful, this sermon's going to get really long. So for those of you that don't know, if you want to know how we eventually got the safe open and what was in it, ask me after the service while we're eating cake. Okay. So if you're attending worship and feel like you're not understanding everything, that's okay. Give it time. We're here to help, and help is here. So if you're struggling to understand, and if you want to know, want more help in learning about Jesus, then just reach out to us and come up about halfway before you throw it to me. Just reach out to us, and we'll throw you a lifesaver. Okay? Because Christianity is a deep subject, because we're talking about God Almighty. And we will never understand all of him this side of heaven. So if you call one of us pastors through the week, we would be glad to meet with you. Meet you somewhere for coffee, meet you at your house. And probably won't bring this with me. If you want me to, I will. But as sort of an object lesson, we're here to help one another. You're here to help me learn about Jesus. So let's all learn about him and follow him together. And if you feel like you're sinking, we got your back. Okay? Okay. In a few minutes, we'll be reading Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. We have what are called pew Bibles underneath the seats in front of you. If you're using one of those, this section of the Bible that we're reading today is found on page 1096, or maybe 1095, but it's one of those. And then in the English Bibles, it's page 743. So if you want to turn there, Luke 19, we're going to start at verse 28, page 1095 or 96. And page 743 for the English. Parades are okay. I think I like watching parades on TV more when I was a kid. The Guinness Book of World Records has some interesting records about parades. The largest golf cart record, golf cart parade, involved 3,321 golf carts. And this record was set at the Villages in Florida, September 4th, 2005. The largest Lego Mindstorms robots parade consisted of 215 robots, and that was accomplished in Belgium in 2016. So if you would, turn to Luke chapter 19, start at verse 28. I'm going to read a verse or two, give a brief explanation, very brief. And once we have read the passage, I'm going to make two main points. And so let's begin at verse 28 and 29. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, okay, so Jesus had been teaching a group of people, large group of people, and now he's walking toward Jerusalem with his followers, his disciples, okay? Verse 30 and 31, this is what he tells them. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You tell them, the Lord needs it. So apparently Jesus had made arrangements ahead of time to borrow a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. Verses 32 and 34. Those who were sent ahead, his followers, his disciples, those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. So things happened just as Jesus intended for them to happen. Verses 35 through 38. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the back of the colt, sort of like a temporary saddle, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks. The cloak would be an outer garment, like an overcoat. And they spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In another part of the Bible, in John's book about Jesus, he tells us that they were also throwing down palm leaves, palm branches. And this is where the practice of giving out palms on Sunday, on Palm Sunday, comes from. And just so you know, there is nothing supernatural or miraculous about these palms. Some people make a cross out of them. Some people put them on the door of their house or their apartment. That's fine. That's cool. But they're just a palm leaf. And we give it to you as sort of an object lesson to remind you that Jesus, the one true King of all time, has come. And he wants to be your king. Now, he wasn't riding on a military horse. He wasn't riding in a king's wagon. He was riding on a donkey. Did you know that the largest parade of toy wagons is 288 participants in Dallas, Texas, in January of 2015? Here's another shot. They had several pictures on there, but I didn't want to take up the whole sermon showing you pictures of a wagon parade in Dallas. Okay? I'm a Bears fan, not a Cowboy fan. And by the way, this is really interesting. Some of you do not know this. The largest wagon in the world is at Radio Flyer headquarters in Chicago, very close by. If you haven't seen it, it's on Grand Avenue, just east of Narragansett, just before Grand runs into Fullerton, on the south side of Grand Avenue. All right, let's look at verses 39 through 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So let's take a look at how the people reacted to Jesus during this spontaneous parade. Some were receiving him as a military hero, as a military deliverer and king. This is seen in verse 38, where the people were saying, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And by the way, also, this is not in my notes, but when it says the colt, the Greek there for colt specifically means a very young donkey, one that probably had not been ridden before. So it's not talking about a horse. And that's intentional. The people singing this praise, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest," those people saying that was based on a prophecy by a man called Zechariah hundreds of years before Jesus. A prophecy is basically what we would call a prediction, but it's more than a prediction because the prophecies from God always come to pass. The Jews of that period had discussed palm branches in the context of messianic expectation. So else, this is not my notes, but in the Old Testament, Jewish people were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, of who we call Jesus Christ. We now look back at the fact that he has already come, okay? So they were looking at these palm leaves and the cloaks and the parade and the people coming in worshiping Jesus. They were looking at this as an expression of, this is our king. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, people used the palms and cloaks to show who they hoped Jesus was. They hoped that he was the long hoped for king who would restore Israel to world power and throw off the dominion of the Roman Empire. So here's what Zechariah had written hundreds of years earlier. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey." I got a little chill bump there thinking, Zechariah said this several hundred years before Jesus was incarnated and born. All four of the Gospels are clear that Jesus chose a symbol, a way for his people to make sense of his kingship. But it was a young donkey, not the palm branch, not a palm leaf. And by the way, this isn't Elsa either, it wasn't a horse. In the culture of that day in the Middle East, back in those days, anytime someone would come in and riding in a parade like that, and people were throwing down, like, that may be where we got the idea of roll out the red carpet, when they would spread cloaks and palm leaves and make a path, it was to recognize this is a person of authority. This is a king. So their receiving him as a military-type king was based on a false understanding of who Jesus is and what he came to do. That's what a lot of people want from Jesus today. To fix all their problems, to do whatever they ask for, to make their life easier. But the primary symbol for this day, a palm, at least what we think of as Palm Sunday, was not chosen by Jesus. This was to recognize a king who had just won a mighty victory. Now, Jesus chose a donkey to show himself not as a victorious military king, but as a humble Savior. What the crowd had wrong was that this was not a king to be celebrated for the moment for fixing their problems, but a king to whom you must commit your entire life. So there were some who rejected him as a king. And I ask, will you receive him as king? As the true king. The one who came to die for your sins so that you could be forgiven of all the wrong you've ever done in your life. And if you want to receive him as king, it must be on his terms, not yours. He's not a glorified butler catering to your desires to fix all of your problems, to do whatever you ask for, to make your life easier. No, Jesus comes as a king, and we follow him wherever he leads. Or will you reject him as king? In this passage, and I'm sorry, Elsa, in this passage at the end of it, the last couple of verses we read, 39 and 40, there are people who tell Jesus, rebuke your disciples, tell them to shut up, you're not a king. And that was a group of people that didn't like Jesus. They hated him. And they wanted him done away with. They were already plotting to kill him. And Jesus said, if I tell them to be quiet, the rocks, the stones will cry out. It's because he is the true king. And all creation should recognize that. I do have a few favorite parades. Uh-oh. I either did something wrong. There we go. This is the largest parade of ice cream trucks. That parade included 98 ice cream trucks in West Sussex, United Kingdom, in June of 2022. I couldn't find the Guinness World Record for the longest donkey parade. But I did find the largest parade of 1,048 alpacas. And that was set, help me pronounce it, Juliaca, Peru. It's Juliaca, Peru, in 2019. So there you go. Yeah, I couldn't find the Guinness World Record for the largest donkey parade. I did find a picture of a donkey parade. But this isn't the world record. So if you guys, if you want to be a part of a Guinness World Record, go home, get your donkey, meet me in the parking lot, and we'll set that record today, because apparently there's not one. So even if we have two donkeys, we're going to be in the record book. But I can tell you the most important donkey parade in history. And that parade consisted of one man riding one donkey into Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago. And it matters what you think about that man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Will you commit to him as a king to whom you must commit your life? The worship team's going to come up on the stage, and I just wonder, if I had been alive 2,000 years ago and I was in Jerusalem, would I have recognized Jesus like many of those people did, as a military leader? He's going to save the country. He's going to solve all of our problems. He's going to throw off the dominion of the Roman Empire. Or would I have been like one of the Pharisees, the people who hated Jesus and reject him? Say, I don't want to hear him. In fact, kill him. Get rid of him. I don't want to hear what he has to say. I don't want anything to do with him. Or would I have been one of the few who would have said, this man, his teachings and his miracles are so great, this must be the Messiah. The Savior come into the world to save us from all of our sins. And let me make that a little more detailed, a little more specific. The Savior come into the world to save me from my sins and to save you from your sins. Now, at the beginning of this sermon, I mentioned when you start to learn about Jesus and you're reading the Bible, you're attending worship, there's so much to learn, it can be overwhelming. So I'm going to give you the secret, the key to following Jesus. And I'm going to do this with an object lesson. Everybody watching? Suppose you're here. Well, you are. Those on live stream aren't, but suppose you were here. And you're hearing this sermon. Maybe you've attended a few times. Maybe today's your first time. And you're thinking, you know, there's something to this, but I don't understand it all. Here's the secret to following Jesus. Are you ready? You just take the first step. You don't have to know it all. You just take the first step, which is saying to him, Jesus, I need to know you. I want you. Teach me about you. And so you continue to attend church if your schedule allows it. You get involved in one of our small group Bible studies. Be glad to start one in your home or have another one here that you could come to if the schedule doesn't match up with the ones we currently have. We have Bibles. We'll give you one, English or Spanish. I would encourage perhaps beginning by reading the Gospel of Luke, or maybe the Gospel of John, either one. I'm your pastor. And you can call me through the week, you can email me. You can text me, but it'll take me longer to text a response. I will. I'm not saying don't, I'm just saying give me time. Ask questions about what you're reading. And as you find out more and more about Jesus, you just take the next step. Before very long, you will learn enough to know that Jesus is the God-man come into the world, becoming human like one of us, so that he could die for us. Because the very basic teaching of the Bible is this. God is the creator of everything, including you. And because he is the creator, we are accountable to him. And yet we have all committed sin at one time or another. We've all done wrong stuff. And deep down inside, we all know that's a problem. We need forgiveness for that. There's an uncertainty. I'll use a word that's not very popular in our culture today. There's a feeling of guilt. I've done something wrong. Jesus came to fix that. And before long, you'll find out that if you truly trust in Jesus and just give him your life, something like, Lord, I know I've done wrong and I want to follow you. I don't understand it all, Just help me follow you from here on out. And then you follow him. And as you learn of him, you learn how to follow him better. It's what all of us are doing. None of us are perfect at this. None of us. If you think we are, keep attending. And you'll see imperfection right here. You'll see failure right here. I am not perfect. Do not follow me. Do not follow this worship team. Don't follow Pastor Monolito, Pastor Tommy. Follow Jesus Christ. He's the Savior that came riding in on a donkey about a week or so before he was crucified. In fact, it was a day or two less than a week. The gospel is that Christ came into the world to die for our sins. And he rose the third day to prove he paid for it. So keep hanging in there. Keep coming back. We probably won't have cake every Sunday. In fact, I know we won't. Who knows? The more people that attend, maybe we'll have cake more often. If you have leftover cake, feel free to bring it. So I hope this has helped you understand a little bit more about who Jesus is, why we do the palms. Maybe you'll enjoy parades more the next time you see one, I don't know. But I really hope that you get to know Jesus. This is the question of eternity, the question of your destiny. So if you're thinking about this, even now, and you're thinking, you know what, I really need to commit my life to Christ. I need to follow this man. I need to follow Jesus. He's my Savior. Then you would pray something like this. And after I pray this prayer, which I prayed back in 1976, maybe not word for word. Yours doesn't have to be word for word. It just has to be a heart that is toward Jesus, a heart that you're giving to him, a life that you're giving to him. And then after this song, the worship team will sing. Or after this prayer, the worship team will sing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for our children. It is so cool, so awesome to see our children walking around this auditorium handing palm leaves to all of us. Because I know that in their classes right now, they're learning about this too. They're learning about you. And it is such a precious thing for children to learn about Jesus as early in life as possible. So, Lord, we're sitting here in this auditorium, and my hope and prayer is that if there are any of the teenagers in here or any of the adults that have come to the place where they want to follow you, they realize they're a sinner, you're a Savior, that they would simply reach up to you in their heart of hearts, praying to you, crying out to you, God, forgive me. I had no idea. I see now I need you as Savior. I want to follow you. Please forgive me. I commit my life to you. And as I learn of you, I will follow you. So if you have prayed a prayer like that, I would encourage you to share it with someone. If you share it with me after the service, I won't make a big deal of it. I might get emotional, even more emotional than when I eat cake. But there is a certain thing that happens within you when you share your commitment to Christ with someone else. It strengthens you. It's just good for you. It's almost like telling someone, hey, I've committed to following Jesus. It just it makes your commitment to him more solid. Some way, somehow, it's a God thing. Some verses in the New Testament that explain this. And for those of you that have already committed to following him, you know what you need to do this week? Just take the next step. Keep following him. Whatever it is, just keep walking. Keep following him. Jesus is king. And he's ridden into Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago to show it there. And he's wanting to ride into your heart right now to be your king. Let him in. Let him in. Let's sing.